You know, we had prayed before we left that the Lord would open doors and opportunity along the way, and it was just amazing to watch God work. How many know that God hears your prayers? Amen. The devil lies to you and says God's not listening because he's trying to discourage you from praying. Amen. And the reason why God will receive your prayer is because you're not coming by your own righteousness, but by the righteousness of the Son, Jesus. Amen. If we're clothed in him and his righteousness, if you're a child of God, amen, we come before him with thanksgiving, right? The Bible says basically to enter with the password, thank you. It's amazing what thanksgiving will do. Amen. How many really enjoy it when your children appreciate the good things you do for them? Not this entitled mentality, you know, entitlement, but when they really appreciate when you've done something good for them, right? How many know that God has done good to every one of us here? You know, even before we called on him, even before we knew anything about him, he was still good to us. And so we come with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving before him because God really is good. Don't listen to that other voice that would tell you anything else or anything different. God really is good. How good is he? Oh, so good. So good. You know, words, or at least our words, are inadequate to express really how awesome, how wonderful, how good God really is. And you know, even when things happen to us that we don't understand, God is still amazingly good. He's always good. Amen. How many know that God is preparing his people for eternity? So know that the things that you encounter in life, you experience along your journey, it's all going to work together like God promised in Romans 8:28. Amen. For the good of them who love the Lord, right? He has promised to work all things together for the good to them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So remember that God's faithful and that God, I'm always reminded of this, the Lord is committed to me. You know we're supposed to be committed to him, amen? But God is always committed to you. He is a faithful God, amen? So even if we're unfaithful, he remains faithful. But God wants us to know his love. He wants us to recognize his goodness in our lives so that we would look past the goodness to the person who gave us the goodness. Amen. He wants us to look past the gift to the giver of the gift. And out of appreciation, out of gratitude, to offer our lives back to him. That we will be a pure, chaste virgin, a bride, a man that's not cheating on her lover, but has eyes only for Jesus. No other gods, amen. No other lovers but Jesus. Amen. But how good it is. It's so good to be with you, to be together. And the Lord is so wonderful, isn't he? Hallelujah. You know, the devil likes to talk people out of God's blessings. He likes to offer you alternatives to being here and gathering. And so you have to, right, speak to the hand because I'm not listening. Amen. I am to discipline my body and tell my body what to do. Amen. Body, you will get out of bed this morning. And yes, body, you will go to the shower. And when you look in the mirror, your face says, do something with it. Trust me, maybe you're young now, but there'll be a day when you say, oh, my word. What happened? The laws of gravity. The shingles coming off the roof, you know. Yeah. All right, we're going to hold it up right there. Okay. God is so good. I just want to share this one thing with you. On the last flight, I was flying out of Hartford, Connecticut to Charlotte, North Carolina. And just before I got on the plane, you know, you check in at the gate there, and they says, "Oh, we had to change your seat assignment." Well, you know, I had I had to pick the seat, you know. And I don't read into that. But I had chosen a seat. And all of a sudden, at the last minute, they say, your seat's been changed. And I almost had a momentary backslide. I'm like, oh, man. So I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, oh, I hope it's an aisle, because I like the aisle. I get long legs, and I don't have to climb over somebody to get out, you know. So anyways, I got into my assigned seat, and another young man happened to have his seat changed, too. To sit right beside me, him and his son. He was probably around 40 years old, I don't know. And he was there with his son. Well, guess what? It was a divine setup. God had been involved in the whole process to bring this man to where he was for such a time as that, because he was open and receptive and he received Jesus. Hallelujah. Right on the plane. Amen. I led him to the Lord. Hallelujah. I got his name is AJ. AJ, if you're listening in, brother, I'm here for you. We love you. We're going to pray for you. Amen. Keep your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Hallelujah. Life with Jesus is amazing. So much better. How many would agree that life with Jesus is better than the life that we would choose for ourselves? Hallelujah. And I had all kinds of ideas and plans for my life, and God interrupted. Aren't you glad He did, right? His way is the way everlasting. This joy, this peace, this love, the world could not satisfy, and it never will, so don't try to satisfy yourself on temporary things. All right? I want to talk to you today about the way of the cross once again, because I think this is so fundamental to everything. If we don't get this right, if we don't understand what I'm going to teach today, then there's no point. Do you understand? A lot of people come to church for improvement in their life. To receive a principle here, you know, and there, and to have maybe some good advice for life. But if we don't understand the message of the cross and the purpose, then we're just wasting our time. Because Jesus said it this way, you cannot put a new patch on an old garment. Or when the garment is washed, that new patch will begin to shrink and it'll make the tear worse. He says, but you need a new garment. And that's what God does. He gives us a new life. He doesn't patch up or improve upon the old, but He gives us a new life. He gives us a new heart. And that's salvation. That's the beginning. And then there is the journey. You know, the time between the dates of the beginning and the ending of our life. And what do you want to be remembered for? Do you want to finish well? Do you want to finish with joy? Do you want to hear Jesus say in that day, well done? Yes. So the journey is where we're finding ourselves today. We're somewhere along the journey. Some of us are getting closer to our final destination. And some of you are maybe just getting started in your journey. But God is preparing His people and making us ready for eternity. In John 12:25, Jesus said, he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, I don't know about you, but that's offensive to the natural understanding. That's offensive to the natural soul of man to say, I'm supposed to hate my life in this world? What are you talking about? How many have had that reaction when you first read that? It says, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates or detests his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And in verse 26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor, right? And so God is going to be where he told you to be. He doesn't move, we move. He remains the same, we change. Amen. And that word for life, he who hates or detests his life, is the word for soul or psuche. Soul. He who hates his soul life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, New Living Translation says those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. I love that part. How many here want God to honor you? You know, it's one thing to have man recognize you and honor you, but it's even greater if God recognizes you and honors you. Because if God lifts you up, God can keep you there. Man may esteem you for a season. Even when Jesus walked the earth, the people one day were singing his praises. And the next day they were hollering out what? Crucify him. So you see how fickle people can be. One day they love you, the next day they could hate you, but God's not that way. God first loved us. Even when we were in our sin, he still loved us first and gave himself for us, demonstrating his love for us in the cross. What does it mean to hate my life? It really means not only to detest, but it means to love less. You're to love your life less. Less than what? Your purpose. Never love your life more than the purpose of your life. I'll get into it. Because sometimes God's going to call us to places where we might have chosen for ourselves. Jesus went all the way to the cross in agreement with the Father's will. He's not talking about your body, amen, or your physical life here. He's not talking about that life. He's talking about the soul life. Because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, of the Lord, right? And we are to take care of our bodies. Thank God for our body, amen? It's our earth suit. Mark 8:34, when he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Guys, if we do not get this right, nothing else is going to work out. Understand that what God calls you to is superior to that which you think you want for you. What God allows us to partner with him in is superior to anything that we would choose for ourselves. And we have to trust his heart and know that what God is offering is much better than what I think I want for me. And this is where trust comes in, that I must be willing to trust God with my life and with my days, with my future, knowing that God's plan is superior to mine. I think the Creator knows better than the creation. I think God's much smarter than we are. Would you agree? Yes. If we want to grow spiritually strong, then we must learn to deny ourselves. To take up your cross really means to put to death your soul life in this world. So I'm going to try to explain this so that you understand. It's not like God says literally you are to hate yourself. He's saying do not love yourself more than your purpose in life. Because God created all of us with a purpose. Can you say amen? And so what we want to do is discover God's plan, God's purpose, and live out the purpose of God in my life, knowing that we are only here for a short season. Life is very short, and it may be shorter than we realize, because we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. So we need to trust in Him and know that God's way is always best. If you really believe somebody, then you will take them at their word. You will know that they wouldn't lie to you. They wouldn't cheat you. They wouldn't defraud you. They wouldn't take advantage of you. If you trust a person, you know that what they're telling you is the truth. If we really believe God, then we will commit ourselves fully to Him without even asking the questions. How many know that a servant could not even question the master? The master would say, go and do this. And the servant wouldn't say, well, why? The servant would get out there and do it. Amen. Because they knew that they were under the authority of the master. Let's bring this forward to today. If your employer tells you to do something, right? They are your authority. Amen. And if they ask you to do something, they're hoping that they don't have an employee that's going to question everything they ask them to do. Amen. But that you're going to know, well, I'm here on a mission. Amen. To be a benefit to the one that I'm working for. And as a result, I will receive my wage, my reward for being faithful to my boss. And so a good employee is one that just says yes, unless, of course, it's something crazy. And in this world, you do have to question certain things, amen, and be a critical thinker. So don't get me wrong. But if you've ever been an employer, you know you want people that are going to be loyal, that are going to obey you. And they're going to obey you when you're not around. How many know the Lord is actually always there? He sees it all. So it's not like because you're not seeing Him with your natural eyes that He's not there knowing what you're doing. Amen. So God is looking for loyalty. He's looking for a people that will trust Him unconditionally, that will commit themselves to Him and be yes people when it comes to His will. Because the person realizes that God's will is superior to what I think I want for me. It's the way of the cross. If you want to grow spiritually, you want a greater, if you will, spiritual capacity, then we have to deny our soul life and submit that part of us to the will of God. If we will submit our soul, amen, ourselves to the will of God, amen, then we are in a position to receive the ability of God, the grace of God, to do what we've been called to do in this world. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Our way, independent of God's way, is the way of death. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end is what? The way of death. So God's way is always the way of life. Now, remember, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. So He's not coming to take away. He's coming to give. Amen. Life, because He is life. Without Christ, there would be no life, because He is the Creator. As Christians, we are called to love Jesus more than our own self-interests. So this is where the battle is. The battle is in my mind to where I want to have my way, but I know what God requires of me. And it's a matter of who am I going to obey? Who am I going to serve? Who am I going to bow down to? Am I going to disregard the Spirit of God and do my own thing? Or am I going to be loyal to God, humble myself, and say, yes, Lord, knowing that what God calls me to do may be bigger than I am, and usually it is, but God will provide for me the grace to accomplish what He called me to do. And if you want to experience the supernatural, you want to experience the miracles, the power of God in your life, then you must humble your soul under the mighty hand of God. Submit yourself to God, amen? And then God will have a user-friendly vessel that he can work through. But we're not making it about us, we're making it about Jesus, amen? So we've got to make room. We've got to give place for the Spirit of God to fill our lives. So I have to deny myself, deny my pleasure, what I want to do, that I might have a place for God, amen, to fill. Spiritual growth is a matter of you and I being built up spiritually, internally, all right, in Christ, to the place where my outer man or my soul man that I inherited from my forefather Adam, that sin nature, amen, is now under control of the Holy Spirit of God in me. So when my inner man is built up and strengthened in the Lord, then that outer man automatically will be humbled and will be brought under submission to the Spirit of God, to the will of God. And then, amen, we will bear fruit that glorifies the Father. Because you and I, independent of Christ, can bear no fruit. You can act nice, you can be nice. You can act loving or you can be loving. Amen? You can act kind or you can be kind. Are you following me? You can act peaceful or you can be peaceful. Because all of these good qualities, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the faithfulness, right? All these things come from the Lord, amen? And so what we need to do is yield to the Spirit of God. We have to deny that part of us that would say, I do not want to follow you. I do not want to do what God is saying. I want to have it my way. And the more that you yield to your outer man, to your soul man, amen, the weaker you will become spiritually. And even as a believer that may have been walking with the Lord a long time, if you do not guard yourself and you do not keep that soul under submission to the Spirit of God and you don't keep feeding yourself, amen, in the Spirit, then you'll become weak and susceptible to every kind of temptation, even to the degree where people fall away from God. We're called to love Jesus more than our own lives. Luke 14:26 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Huh? God is love, isn't he? Yes, God is love. But here Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters. Yes, his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. How many know that God's not telling us to hate our family, but to love him more than our family? He's not telling you to hate yourself. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. He knows you already have a self problem, amen. We already love ourselves. He says, just don't love yourself so much that you're putting yourself before God's will. God's not telling us to hate our family, but to love him more than our family and even our own life in this world. When you truly love God more than you love you, then you will do whatever God tells you, even if it means death. Hear it. Jesus loved the Father more than he loved his own life. He was willing to go all the way to the cross. He even loved you and I. He loved you and I more than he loved his own life. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man would give his life for a friend. Jesus gave his life for us when we were enemies. He loved us more than he loved his own life in this world. And he's telling us, I want you to join with me to deny yourself, to take up your cross and follow me. And where I am, That's where my servant's going to be. Because we love him more. I love him more than my family. I love my family, but I love Jesus more than my family. My wife and I have this agreement. We understand if God says to do something and I'm saying don't do it, she's going to do it. Amen. If your spouse is saying don't go to church, if God tells me to go to church, I'm going to church. I never have to worry about Jesus telling me that. It's time to get up. No. All right. Moving right along. But think about it. If we're focused on worldly, temporary things, then we will not be able to accomplish our God-given purpose. I don't know how it is for you, but in me, the more that I grow in the Lord, the less I love this world. When you're weak spiritually, the world becomes more attractive. The temporary things, the pleasures of this life become more attractive. But when you're strong in the Lord, your mind is on heavenly things. Your mind is on the kingdom. Your mind is on the mission of God. Amen. And living out your purpose that God gave you a life, amen, to live out. So that's the difference. And that's where God is calling his church. He's calling his church in America and throughout the earth. Amen. But he wants the church in America to wake up and to return. Return to our first love. And rediscover what we left. God didn't move. We moved. Matthew 13:22 says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. Oh, that was a good word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. What does it say? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Prayer. Church attendance, Bible reading will avail little if we're unwilling to deny ourselves and obey his voice. You see, a lot of people do these things. Some people are very faithful, consistent, even to come to church every week. But the real question is, have you really given your life to Jesus? Is he really Lord of your life? Are you living out the purpose that God gave you? Are you going to be able to say, as Paul did at the end of his life, I have kept the faith. I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. He suffered, but he knew there was a reward. And that what he had invested, he had given his life in this world because he knew what God was going to give him was superior to anything that he might have given up in this world. Are you hearing me? Time is short. God is looking for loyal ones. He's looking for someone to commit themselves and to serve him now. And the day will come when you will be able to sit down at his table. And the Lord said, I will gird myself in that day and I will serve you. But today, God is calling us to partner with him, to deny what I want that I might do what he wants. And I have discovered that every time I say no to me and yes to Jesus, I'm happy about it. Oh, it's always much better. Come on, somebody. Because even if there's pain in the offering, the joy of God will override any of the pain or discomfort, all right? Problem in America, I think, is many of us Christians are quite soft. So adversity, difficulties are good for us because they bring us to a place where we need God. Amen. And we cry out to God and we're filled with God. Amen. And then there's fruitfulness because the fruit is of him and not of us. And so God's looking for somebody who will be humble before him. It's much easier to humble ourselves than it is to be humbled. Do yourself a favor, humble yourself before God. Don't be like the stubborn horse or mule that has to be bridled. Amen? Just be yes. Those who hate their life in this world are those who grow to spiritual maturity and fruitfulness. And people who try to find satisfaction in this world never do. And as we grow in the Lord, we become more aware that life in the Lord is better, it's superior. I don't miss a lot of people, and I used to think the same way when I was in the world, think, man, you're really missing out. Man, they show you on television or you watch your friends are out partying and having such a good time, and the devil comes along and says, you're really missing it, you know. What a lie. What a lie. No, you're missing it. You and I were created for God. And any life that we would attempt to live apart from Him is dysfunctional. Amen. And that's why our world is so messed up, because man is separated from God and he's living dysfunctionally because of that. And the only hope for America, the only hope for us, amen, is Jesus. Amen. This teaching, again, about self-denial is contrary, it's offensive to our natural reasoning. Because our natural mind resists the will of God. But this is the way of life. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And let me just interject this. There are a lot of different gospels being presented today. Different Jesuses, people receiving different spirits. There is a gospel today of accommodation. A people-pleasing gospel that requires no cross, no self-denial. It's the wide road that Jesus warned us about that leads to destruction. And most people are going that direction. Because narrow is the way, isn't it? That leads to life. And there are few. Few. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to empower us so we can overcome ourselves. We are no match for our flesh. We are no match for the devil. Are you hearing me? We are no match for the temptations of this world. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God, amen, to be able to control ourselves. And to deny ourselves. Because you and I have a will, don't we? And that will can be very stubborn. And so we need God, amen, to humble us by His Spirit. To give us an attitude adjustment. So we come to a realization that my way is not the better way. So now when I watch people in the world and they're heading out to the clubs and they're partying and they're doing all this stuff that the world says, oh, this is you're really living it up. You're really having fun now. I feel a sense of pity. I feel like sad because they're being deceived. They're being lied to. They're being offered a cheap counterfeit. The Lord wants to be the one to bring joy, to fulfill, to satisfy. He wants us to drink of His presence. He wants us to receive His superior joy. Amen. So we will delight ourselves in Him. We will drink of Him who is our life. Amen. And we will find that what God is offering is always superior to what the world offers. There's only so many shops you can go to and so many things you can buy and so much room in your house to put a new thing. And if that ain't satisfying, well, we go out and we buy more things and put that with the other things. And some of the things we aren't even looking at anymore, not even touching, don't even remember we have things. We got boxes full of things, amen, that we bought years ago. And somehow we think we need those things. Why is it? Because in our soul life, we think that these things somehow will make us happy and satisfy us. God's not opposed to us having nice things. Amen. The problem is that we are getting our priorities out of order. Sometimes, once in a while, I get this thought about, you know what? We came out in our birthday suit. Amen. And we're going out in our birthday suit. Amen. So everything we see, everything we have, amen, it's either going to become somebody else's someday. So what are we really living for? What are we spending our time on? Amen. How many would agree that our life is precious? That God is for life. But God wants us to use our lives wisely, to live our lives wisely according to His will. So that we'll have treasure in heaven. And not only will we have treasure in heaven, we'll have this treasure in us. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm so happy to be with Jesus. How about you? Amen. And so what the enemy wants to do is he wants to replace the things of God in you with things of the world. He wants to get you distracted and chasing after wind and sand and temporary things that will never really satisfy you, because he knows if he can keep that going long enough, before you know it, you'll look back at your life and say, man, where have the days gone? Where have the years gone? And if you've been out of the race, how many would agree with me? It's a good idea to get back in the race. If you're not serving the Lord, God's calling every one of us to serve Him. Amen. To deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow Him. Amen. And we'll have treasure in heaven. And Jesus said, where I am, there's where my servant's going to be. Amen. And the Lord is looking for loyalty. And the God that we serve gives His grace to the humble. He gives His grace to the ones that are willing to deny themselves that they may do the will of God. Hallelujah. The more I hate my life in this world, the greater the capacity the Holy Spirit has to fill me. You see, some people, they just want to come up to the altar and have you lay hands on them, and they're going to get everything they want right there, you know. The problem is if you're full of you and full of junk and full of the world and full of this and full of sin, amen, there's no capacity for God. Sometimes, you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you pray for somebody, it's like praying for a stump. There's no receptivity. It's like, ain't nothing happening there. There's something, there's a blockage, or they're full of something that they haven't dealt with. Or they have idols in their lives that they haven't repented of. I think a big one in America is materialism. And it's choked even the pursuit of wealth. And God's not opposed, again, to providing for our families. But so much of the time it's become about just having more. Why? Because we think if I can just get a little bit more, have a little more, I'm going to be happier. And then when you get that, you say, well, that didn't satisfy either. What really matters? Where are our priorities? Where is our treasure? If your treasure is in heaven, you're going to be living for heaven. You're going to be minding heavenly things. Your affections are going to be set above, amen, on Jesus. And for His plan, His will for your life. Hallelujah. Because you find out that true joy comes from Him. True satisfaction comes that I'm living out my purpose. Remember that, I say it often, but Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And meat can mean bread. And bread is what satisfies. He's saying, I'm satisfied in the will of my Father. He wasn't finding satisfaction at the mall. Nothing wrong with the mall. Amen. But I'm just saying, a matter of priorities. But Jesus said, I am fulfilled. I am satisfied in the will of my Father. When you and I are born again, we become a new creation. When you and I are receive the Spirit of Christ, amen, we become a child of God. Now God gives us an assignment. God gives us a mission. We have a reason to live and we have a reason to die. We have something to live for and something to die for. Come on, we're all going to die anyways. I don't care what science says. Cyborgs and all this crazy stuff. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. How many are looking forward to the day when you see Jesus? How many are going to have confidence in the day that you see Jesus? You're going to have confidence because you're living for Jesus in this world. Because you've already given your life over to Him. Amen? And you're living out the purpose of God in your day-to-day life. And so you will have confidence in the day of judgment. Why? Because you have not been seduced by the world and you're not making this world your permanent home. Amen? We are a pilgrim people. We're passing through. Amen? God has an eternal plan and purpose for every one of us. Why? Because God wants to share His kingdom with us. He wants us to have an abundant welcome into glory. And He's allowing us to partner with Him. First John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. The world cosmos. World is cosmos, meaning that system that is in opposition to the will of God. The spirit of Antichrist. Do not love the things of this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now hear it. If you love the world, then the love of God is not in you. If the love of God doesn't fill our hearts, then the love of this world will take God's place in our hearts. If the love of God does not fill our hearts, then the love of this temporary world will take God's place in our hearts. And that is called idolatry. And that's why John warned the church in his closing letter. In 1 John 5:21, he said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's how he finished it. Amen. Idols of pride. Idols of self-importance. Idols of pleasure. You cannot be filled with Jesus and full of yourself at the same time. When I am self-focused, then I'm easily offended by others. You'll find out how strong you are spiritually when somebody says something offensive to you. Or when somebody tries to correct you. Some people have been Christians a long time, but they're still spiritually immature. How many know that an immature person grumbles and complains? Children grumble and complain. Are we there yet? When we are spiritually weak or immature, then we're prone to complain. And because we're not trusting fully in God's sovereignty, His plan, His working out of His salvation in our lives. And so God wants us to get to a place where we quit questioning and quit complaining about it and start thanking God in the midst of it and knowing that God is working something out in my life. How many know that difficulties in your life are good to create in you a steadfastness, amen, that the world cannot give you? God wants you to be strong, amen, internally, so you can stand externally. And so difficulties are actually good for us. How many say, I love difficulties? Let me see that hand this morning. One, two, three. Yeah. We're supposed to say that, right? Some people, listen, are offended over the littlest things. When I was a new Christian, I'm just going to tell myself a little bit here. I don't like talking about me much. But I was a new Christian. I would get offended if somebody didn't raise their hands while I was leading worship. Oh, especially if they fell asleep while I was preaching. And I would get offended. Why? Because I was really full of myself and not even aware of it. I had giftings. I had a calling. Amen. But I was still really pretty full of me. Anybody follow me so far? That's how children are. They think about themselves more than they should. You have to teach a child to be caring, to be giving, to be sharing that toy with somebody else. And so it is, we can be easily offended when we are spiritually weak or immature. God wants to bring us to a place where we're not being shaken by the small stuff. He wants to strengthen us internally. You see, a child or a baby Christian does not learn to hate his or her soul. And so they're easily offended. See, we should hate that part of us that gets offended. We should hate that part of us that has to be first. We should hate that part of us that needs to be recognized. We should hate that part of us that needs the praises of people. Come on. Understanding that we get our validation from the Lord. Amen. He approves or disapproves. Hallelujah. Now, if somebody is being used of God, amen, to speak a word of encouragement in your life, praise God for that, amen. But we should not be depending on people, amen, to validate us. Now, nobody appreciates me here in this church. I'm going to find another church to get offended at, to attend. Oh, yeah. You run off with your diapers. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've been there, done that. As we grow in the Lord, we become less dependent on ourselves. You become more dependent on God. It's a sign of spiritual maturity, actually, to become more dependent or more humble. The world says, no, you got to be in charge. You exalt yourself. You set yourself up above others. But as we grow in the Lord, we actually become less dependent on us and more dependent on Him. And with the fear of God's in our hearts, and we don't dare do anything unless God says it's okay. It doesn't matter how long I've been preaching. You know, I still need to pray up, man. I got to get ready. Amen. I need to walk in that place. Amen. So that I know that I'm ready when I'm being called on. Amen. And you don't want to wait until you get there. Amen. To start preparing. When we are aware of our own human weakness, then we derive our strength from the Lord. So God is bringing us to a place where we are not relying upon ourselves, that we become aware of our own weakness so that we derive our strength from the Lord. The only way to be strong in the Lord is to know that we need the Lord. Amen. That we become hungry for Him. We know that we are impoverished spiritually. Amen. And that what I have to offer is no good. I need God. I need His provision. I need His grace in my life. And that's maturity. And so sometimes that's why the Bible says do not put a novice in a position of influence in the church, in a position of power, right? Of authority. Because they'll get proud. When your soul life is put to death or denied, you don't care what others say about you. If we require the praise of men, it's a sign of spiritual immaturity. We've had people get offended here because somebody didn't pay attention to them. Now, I don't advocate that we ignore people. But how many know that sometimes you're going to be tested in that very area? Are you going to be loyal to God and what He's called you to do? Or are you going to be controlled by the opinions of others or what people do or don't do? God wants us to grow up. Amen. What if Jesus was that way? What if Jesus just got offended because people didn't like him? Come on. He would have never gone to the cross. Amen. If he was trying to please people, he only wanted to please the Father. Sometimes God validates us through other people. Would you agree? But we have to know that it's God and that it's not flattery. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." So sometimes God will give you a word, amen, of encouragement for somebody, even a prophetic word that God is saying this to you. But let me tell you this, discouragement is a sign that I've been deriving my confidence from myself rather than Christ. Yeah? Discouragement is a sign that I've been deriving my confidence from myself rather than Christ. Anybody beside myself had a pity party? We've all had pity parties. And how many know that a pity party is self-centeredness? Woe is me. How many know that you will not live out the will of God if you are self-centered? Set your affection on things above. Get your eyes off you and get your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Live for him. Live for others. When you minister to someone, you can't be thinking about how well you're talking. Amen. You need to be thinking, oh, Lord, give me something to say. Amen. And right now I'm focusing on Joe here, right? And I'm going to pour into Joe. So, Lord, I just rely upon you to give me the words to speak or the anointing for whatever I need to do here. If there's healing needed, whatever, I'm just going to rely upon God to provide for that. So you cannot be self-centered and be a minister for Christ. You know, some people get into ministry because they like the attention they get from being in the pulpit. God's word has a way of exposing things, doesn't it? Really, really revealing to us the motives, the reasons why we do things. And most of us, again, if you would ask us, we would say, no, I'm not like that. I'm a pretty good person. I had somebody ask me one time, he says, do you think you're a spiritual person? Or do you think you're a good Christian? And so, I don't know, I just had a, man, that sounds like a setup. Because I'll tell you, I've had people that have told me how good of a Christian they are. Have you ever heard anybody talk about how good of a Christian they are? Sometimes in the pulpit, they'll talk about how good of a Christian they are. Watch out. I just simply said, and I don't know if I had heard that before, but I just simply said, you know, I'm not who I used to be. And I'm not where I'm going. I'm not who I am going to be. I'm somewhere in the process. Because we have to keep a humble attitude about ourselves and understand that if God accomplishes something in us, it's because of his grace and not because we're anything. It can't be about us. You can't be a Christian if it's for you. Jesus, amen, wasn't here for himself. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And it's freeing, guys, to be in a place where we're no longer controlled by what others think about us or don't or say about us. But what matters is, God, what do you say? Because one day we're all going to give an account. Discouragement is another sign my soul life is strong. Mm-hmm. If I'm easily discouraged, if I'm easily offended, there's no reason for me to be discouraged if I'm trusting in the Lord. Psalms 42:11, one of my favorites, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? David knew about discouragement. Hope in God. There's the answer. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance in my God. Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Now, the word confidence can also mean outspokenness, boldness, frankness. Amen. How many know that the Lord can make you bold, can make you strong? Amen. He says, don't cast away your confidence. Why? Because your confidence, your ability to be bold is to be derived from the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And not from your own human soul. Some people naturally are bold and outspoken. Amen. But what we need is the boldness that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit working out of our lives. So when we know that we're weak in ourselves and I don't have what it takes in myself, I derive my strength and my boldness, my courage from the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the Lord himself. And then I can be effective for God because God will give you a supernatural boldness. Amen. It's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. And that drives out all fear. And you can have a supernatural confidence in the Spirit of God. God does not want his people afraid of people because it's a snare, it's a trap. If you fear people, you will bow down and compromise what you know is right to please people. If we want to please people, guys, we cannot be the servant of Christ. It does not mean that I go around browbeating people with the word and being disrespectful to people. It means that simply I'm going to obey the Lord. Amen. Whether it's acceptable to people or not. Knowing that to the Lord I shall give an account. And the early church faced severe threats from the chief priests and elders. They looked to the Lord for help. They said in Acts 4:29, O Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. They found their strength in the Lord. In our weakness is his strength. In our inability is his ability. When I am weak in my soul, then I can be strong in the Holy Spirit. When I am in denial of self, I can then be able to contain more of God's presence because I'm yielding and giving place for the Spirit of God to possess me and to use me. If I am satisfying my soul on worldly things, then I will not have the capacity, amen, to contain more of God's presence. Is that making sense? I'll become choked out by the things of the world and I won't be able to bear fruit. So I'm going to finish with this. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was what? Also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But here it is, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. You know what we've done today? We have Christian celebrities now. Christian superheroes now. Come on. There's only one superhero up in here, amen? That's Jesus. Hallelujah. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a bondservant, and he came in the likeness of men. God became a man. Jesus made himself of no reputation. So I finish with this, James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. That means I have been given charge of me to tell me what I'm going to do. I have been given charge of this body. This body is my servant, not my master. Amen. My soul, amen, I can control because God gives me the grace to do so. As I rely upon the ability of God, I can control myself and I can control my emotions to where my emotions are not controlling me. Because if you allow your emotions to control you, you will also compromise the will of God. You'll get into fear. Well, praise the Lord. My soul wants to be noticed. My soul wants to be praised by men. but my spirit desires to please the Lord. Listen, even if that requires upsetting people. My spirit desires to please the Lord. My soul wants to be noticed, coddled, doted on, paid attention to, praised by men, right? But my spirit wants to please the Lord. So that's why it is important. That's why in Ephesians 6, Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power dunamis of his might." This is the secret. This is it. We derive our strength from the Holy Spirit. We can live the life God calls us to by the power, the ability of the Holy Spirit. It's not of me, but of God and my partnership with him. Amen. So we need to understand the importance of worship. Worshiping the Lord. Singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Amen. God inhabits the praises of his people. We are to be filled or continually filled with the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that we will be able to overcome ourselves. And God's holy desire, God's holy passion will begin to grow in us to where the passion of the Lord overtakes our outer man and the Spirit of the Lord is in charge of our lives. And we can live the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we'll just do what we feel like doing. But God will give you a good feeling. God will give you a motivation, I mean, in your heart that's of him to do his will. You and I are the bride of Christ. The bride is in preparation right now. She's being made holy. She's being set apart. She's being prepared for the great day of the wedding supper of the Lamb, when the wedding will be consummated, if you will. We are now in a betrothal period. Now remember, the bridegroom would leave his father's house. Amen? Right? Well, he would return to his father's house to do what? To prepare a place. Right? For who? The bride. That's why Jesus said, "If I go away, I will return to receive you, that where I am, there you may be also." The Lord has returned to heaven. And he has sent his Holy Spirit. And he's given us his word. And God is saying, "I want you to be prepared. I want you to remain faithful to me in my absence. I don't want you to have any other gods before me. No idols. I want to be first. I want you to have eyes for only me. I want you to live your life fully sold out for me." Because he's coming for a bride. He's not coming for a prostitute. He's coming for a bride. Amen. He's coming for a people who have prepared themselves. For the Bible says that he shall return a second time without sin unto salvation. To who? To those who are looking for him. If we are living for him, it means that we are looking for him. Because this world is not our home. God's got something better.